This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say, but if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free for All Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday. My first Free for All Friday in a while. I took a short break. Before that, we had some of our year-end holiday time shows. So I'm very happy to be back. Now, we are still dealing with our temporary Free for All Friday format. See, I said that without flubbing. Our temporary Free for All Friday format. We have a very esteemed panel with us, and we are asking people to text us rather than phone us. Now, before I left, that text line was getting really popular and people were using it, but I guess a lot of people fell out of the habit. So please get back in the habit. The text line number is 866-740-4740. As you can see, it's very similar to the actual phone number that you used to call. Again, the text line, 866-740-4740. And oh boy, talk about a news overload coming back, both on the international front and on the home front. And a lot of it very disturbing, I have to say. So on the home front, in addition to the announcement about this proposed property tax hike in Toronto, 2.2%, which is much lower than anticipated, much lower than we had in the first two Chow years, and which a lot of observers, including Brad Bradford yesterday and John Burnside, were saying really it's smoke and mirrors, it's relying on reserves and one-time spending. And I guess whoever wins the election in October will start saying that they've been left with a mess, which is what Olivia Chow's been saying. And she and her administration, they're trying to present themselves as fiscally responsible, caring about the spending of money. All I can say is if you believe that, but I would like to hear from you. Text us. Do you believe that? Have they changed? Have they listened? I really want to know. We also had amid statistics that pedestrian safety is getting better. We had three pedestrian fatalities in the space of a week, including at least one where the woman was walking in the crosswalk. We know that it can be dangerous when some of these bigger vehicles, these trucks, turn right. And, you know, let's face it, regular people, not on some delivery job, drive these monstrous vehicles. And if you're in something smaller or on your feet, they can have a hard time seeing you. And they can, if you're in a smaller vehicle, they can be blinding you with their lights because of the height. But this is really awful. And we had random stabbings, and we had somebody actually shot to death in the Yorkdale subway station or just around there. And we had an arrest of a suspect who, it is alleged, went to the U of T Scarborough campus with the idea of killing somebody, and we don't know why he targeted a 20-year-old international student who he shot dead. The police seem to think it was all completely random. So what's going on? And of course, this guy was on release. He was on parole. And our experts have been telling us that, you know, that new crime bill that the Carney government is touting will solve a lot of the problems, especially with people being released on bail when they're dangerous. Well, it would do nothing for someone who was out on parole. So I bet a lot of people have a lot to say about those things. 866-740-4740. Boy, to get to the international front, we had the capture of Nicolas Maduro, and he has been taken to the United States and charged with very serious offenses, he and his wife, in a New York court, and he's in jail awaiting trial there. We've had this unrest in Minneapolis following the shooting by ICE of a woman, a mother, Renee Nicole Good, a 37-year-old. We had the mayor of that city, Jacob Frey, telling ICE to, quote, get the F out of Minneapolis. In the meantime, there has been some information coming to light that she was part of a group that was monitoring ICE. We've seen video from different angles. The loss of life, it's horrific. And people, little known true fact about my past, I lived in Minneapolis for a couple of years, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I was a reporter there. It was, boy, a very different place there. It was extremely homogeneous. The myth was that most of the people in the state were of Scandinavian descent. In fact, most of them were of German descent. A lot of Scandinavians, a very small black population, which very proudly boasted Prince. So when I was in Minneapolis, we had Prince and we had Mary Tyler Moore, and that was about it. But it was a very long time ago, and things have changed a lot there. We have huge protests in Iran, which many were hoping would lead to the end of the mullahs of Khomeini, but they have now cut off the internet, and they are warning that the crackdown will be very severe. And remember, this is a place where women can be killed for showing their bangs, the little bit of hair outside of their hijabs. So, boy, there's a lot to talk about, and I want to hear from other people aside from just me. So I would like to welcome Dean Holland, who is an entertainment host of Big Bang Sunday Night, as well as many other programs on Zoomer Radio. Anthony Fury, a longtime post-media columnist and former Toronto mayoral candidate. And Liz West, the host of The Afternoon Express, and may I say, the outgoing host of The Afternoon Express. This is Liz's last day here at Zoomer Radio. Liz, we'll miss you.
Oh, Thank you. Thank you. And what a great way to spend my last day on the Free For All Friday. So thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, why don't we start with you? Out of all this, I would say, avalanche of news, what really grabbed your attention this week?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, everything in its own way, but probably the murder of the woman in Minneapolis is really, really worrisome. I was just rereading this morning what happened. And, you know, there's always going to be speculation and new information. You mentioned that there was this idea she might have been part of a collective that was keeping tabs on ICE. And I would say, so what, right? Like, so what? That's not against the law. Of course, anybody should be able to. You know, in fact, that's a good thing that people are paying attention to what government and arms of the government are doing. But I think I wonder if this is going to be an actual trigger point for something bigger in the U.S. because it's been coming to a head, this kind of crisis of government versus the people, the strong arming, the decisions that are made, the things that are changed in order to act, you know, policies that the government of the day wants. So I think this is a memorable moment. And I feel sorry for Minneapolis because, yeah, you know, Prince and Mary Tyler Moore are warm and fuzzy and great ways to think of that town. And that's a really interesting story. You also said that you were there, Libby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a very different place. And all of this is coming after there's a big scandal about major fraud on the part of a large Somali community there of government money, which has prompted the governor, Tim Walz, not to run again, the Democrat governor. Minnesota has always been a very liberal place politically. Anthony Fury, I mean, so there is new information coming out about this woman. I mean, they've also made threatening sounds about Greenland, which I think have been walked back a bit. And it makes me worry about Canada. I've been saying since the beginning, I don't think he's kidding about Canada as a 51st state, Anthony.
Hey, Libby, good to be here. Happy New Year. Always great to speak with you and great to speak with you, Liz, on your last day here. Yeah, I mean, to your point, we go on Christmas break to spend some downtime and we come back and, you know, sometimes you're sort of looking for news. We have those phrases, quiet news day, but not this week. Oh, boy. No, not at all. You know, I think you're right on your assessment of the geopolitical scene there that, you know, the American president definitely has a bit of an expansionist vision right now. They see that China is moving in creative ways. Russia obviously crossing over into borders that aren't theirs, over into Ukraine. And I think Trump is looking around and playing a long game, whatever you think about that game, whether you agree with his summary of it or not. He's saying, how can we sort of strengthen expand the economy and the size and scope of the U.S. so we don't get sort of overshadowed by China?
Uh-oh. Anthony, I think we just lost you a little bit.
History is back, as they say. I think we're going to see a lot of big stuff happen between now and the rest of the Trump term, because this is only year one. There's three more years of this.
Yeah, I'm exhausted already. Before we get to Dean, I want to read our first text of the show. It's from Jerry in Markham, and he says, where is the $30 million coming that Chow plans to soak up for the new bike lanes that no one wants? So, Dean, do you want to respond to that, or is there something else that caught your attention this week?
You know what? The thing that really caught my attention was also the capture of Nicolas Maduro. That, it reminiscent of things that I grew up reading about in history books in school and, you know, and family stories as well, who escaped parts of Europe and ended up over here. And, you know, very critical of easy to be very critical of other leaders going into other countries. And just to, you know, whether we agree with the politics or not, to just sweep into another country and justify that. I agree with you. I think that, you know, now more than ever, I'm looking at Trump and thinking, wow, like he might actually really be serious about, you know, the 51st, the 52nd, the 53rd state. You know, who knows where he'll stop. It seemed funny, maybe at first, not so funny anymore.
No, I don't think it seemed funny ever. And people, let me give the text line number again. And we will get to that question of the city budget, which a lot of people are characterizing as smoke and mirrors. Also, compare and contrast in Brampton, for instance, they're proposing a 1.5% property tax hike. So I guess Olivia Chow is outdone by Patrick Brown. So the text line number, 866-740-4740. So there's this whole issue that first they scooped in on Venezuela and they put Maduro's vice president in power basically, and said she better cooperate. And that was a big surprise to a lot of people because he had had overtures with the opposition leader who won the Nobel Peace Prize. And he kind of dismissed her and said, oh, doesn't think that she has the backing to run the country. Liz, I mean, there's this whole idea that this is kind of one part of they want to split the world into zones of influence. And they want our hemisphere, and they want to let China, Russia do whatever they do in their backyard.
Yeah, I am very suspicious of what's going on right now and pretty uncomfortable, especially hearing that the U.S. is going to take over the Venezuelan oil, and to have that kind of, I don't really understand. It's like, for me, it's like, I think about like, who made you the big boss? Like, as Dean said, we can disagree with other countries and how they run them, but we're allowed to run our own countries. And when the U.S. has gone in and arrested the Venezuelan president and his wife, it's like, it felt like an overreach. And maybe I'm wrong. And I'm trying to read up on this as much as possible to understand all sides of the story. But my spidey senses are telling me that I don't trust what's happening. And I think that we'll look back and see all these signs.
Oh, we seem to have lost a bit of Liz there.
Driven by Trump.
We got you back. Let's just make it clear. Maduro and his wife, very bad people, starving their own people and making it illegal there. Anybody who sort of challenged that regime, well, it was very bad for them. Even worse than what happens if you cross the Trump administration, for sure. So let's just get that part straight. But it became clear the U.S. government didn't go in there to promote democracy. They went in there to promote their own interests. He's being charged as a drug kingpin. He's in jail awaiting trial, which will not come very swiftly, apparently. So that is kind of where we're at. I want to go to another thing that had me shaking my head, Anthony, here. And that is this trip to China. I mean, frankly, in my mind, we have had so much information about Chinese interference in our affairs. I kind of think that they are a worse threat than the United States. And here is Mark Carney traveling to China, the first time a Canadian prime minister has traveled to China in a very long time. And who's the first person on his list? Michael Ma, the floor crosser, which means like he's a backbencher. And one of his last acts before he crossed the floor, he met with the Chinese ambassador. So what is up with that? That makes me nervous, I have to say.
You know, I think you're right to have that nervousness, Libby. And I think you really nailed it when you said China is definitely more of a challenge and a threat to us than the United States is for many reasons. And I do worry that a lot of people don't really see that right now. There are a lot of causes for concern. One of my friends, she runs a manufacturing facility and they sell a lot of products to the U.S. And when we had conversations about, okay, we have to acknowledge the economic situation is permanently different now with the U.S. We have to pivot to other markets. And one line that she says, and she's not the only person who says this, but it's much easier to keep a current customer than it is to go out and find a new one. And I think the idea that we should be jettisoning the relationship with the U.S. for markets that are just, you know, far away, even logistically, like it just costs more to travel to China than it does to, Niagara Falls, New York. I think that's kind of folly. And we really need to think it through there. In terms of this long enduring relationship we've had, you know, to the South that is definitely changing right now. But it's been enduring for a reason. And as you said, there's a lot of troubling stuff going on in China with it's both a communist country, but Xi Jinping is a very different leader than the past leaders like Deng Xiaoping, who tried to bring or we thought was going to bring China into more like a liberal democracy, more of a freer capitalist society, and he didn't. And Xi Jinping is very much taking us back to the way of Chairman Mao, and that's concerning. So if Mark Carney is going in with the sort of rosy perspective, rosy-eyed glasses, that's a challenge. He definitely needs to go in, you know, fully aware that there can be and will be, I'm sure, multiple traps for him to walk into.
Okay. So we have another text, and this is on Toronto's recycling woes. As you know, the recycling on January the 1st moved over to a different system, funded by producers. The company is called Circular. So this text, which had no name on it, Wednesday, January 7th was our North York Recycling Day. To date, it has not been picked up. And I have to say, yesterday was our recycling day, and we've been getting our pickups from GFL, which was under contract to the city, is now under contract to this private company. And it did not show up on the recycling calendar. People put it out anyway because there's a lot to recycle after Christmas, and we did not get our pickup either. But again, it wasn't on the sacrosanct recycling calendar. So everybody's saying, oh, please bear with us. There's always hiccups, but I'm not sure what they are. It is, it's the second week in January, so we should have had a recycling pickup. Dean, what do you think about the recycling?
I had my recycling picked up on Wednesday. We also had a switch of companies as well. I guess everybody did.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, two separate vehicles come down the street. I got to say, when I came into Toronto on Wednesday, and I am perpetually overwhelmed when I drive along the Gardiner and I see how many people live in the city, and I guess a lot of people's recycling to pick up. Not making excuses, but yeah, January 1st, there's a lot of extra, of course, everywhere around the province after the holidays. A difficult day to start. How long is it going to take now to catch up if you're behind after January 1st, which fell on a Thursday, and then we go into the weekend? I would say, you know, grace period, maybe, you know, another week. But at that point, you know, you've got to get the stuff picked up. If you've agreed to that, you know, if you didn't think it was possible to do this on a January 1st, well, then you should have negotiated for a different start date. But clearly, you know, if you've agreed to this, you know, just like, you know, showing up for a work shift, you've got to deliver. In my neck of the woods, it does seem that they deliver.
Yeah, that's very, very odd because, like I said, it's the same company that's been picking up trash for years. It was just under contract to somewhere different. So is there a dispute about the contract? Who knows? But again, people, please text and ask or tell us what you want to talk about because it is Free for All Friday. And I believe it is well past the time for our first break. So let's take that break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday, this slightly different Free for All Friday. Please text us. The text line is 866-744-740. And interesting, we've been talking about all kinds of things, including a lot of what is happening on the world stage. But our calls are about the things that are close to home, about bike lanes. Sorry, not our calls, our texts. I, bad habit. Old habit, but hopefully we will get back to a call-in show soon enough. People texting us about recycling, about bike lanes, and let's talk taxes too. So do you think this proposed 2.2% tax hike, which is lower than expected in Toronto, is that a good enough reason to re-elect Olivia Chow? She, of course, is being a bit coy. She hasn't confirmed that she's going to run again, but I'd say that is as good as confirming it. And do you buy that she has suddenly found fiscal responsibility? Do you buy that? Also in Brampton, at the same time, they're proposing only a 1.5% property tax hike. Very different places, Brampton and Toronto. Unfortunately, we had pedestrians killed this week, both in Brampton and in Toronto. And the numbers tell us that this is getting better. But, you know, the numbers are the numbers, and the particular case is the particular case. It's the same with crime. We often hear numbers that, boy, the crime rate is going down, but a lot of these crimes are really frightening. Home invasions, carjackings, and we had some totally random assaults. And one of them was a killing. And they arrested a suspect who was out on parole. So the justice system was not able to deal with that. So there is really a lot to talk about. The text line, again, 866-740-4740. And Anthony, you know, what do you think about the kind of the dichotomy of numbers that say things are getting better, but it certainly doesn't feel that way when we see what's going on around us?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Libby. When it comes to the proposed tax increase from Olivia Chow, I like the idea of a low 2% tax increase. I'm very much a fan of fiscal accountability and being fiscally conservative. So at face value, I like it, but I'm dismayed by the cynicism of it all, because we know this is not what Olivia Chow really wants to do. You asked in the lead-in of the program whether or not they've turned over a new leaf. No, a leopard doesn't change its spots. Olivia Chow's philosophy is more someone who brings in the sort of rates she brought in the previous couple of years of closer to 10%. What we're seeing is a real bait and switch just leading into the election. And I think it's unfortunate that it's being positioned this way. And then the question is, will the voters think this is genuine, or will they see through it? Now, when I was campaigning for mayor last time around, I proposed that tax increases would stick to at or below the rate of inflation, which I think is the responsible thing to do. Can you imagine if I had campaigned on 2%? People would be saying, oh, this is conservative austerity. Obviously, there's going to be cuts that make life untenable. I can't believe this is happening. It's reckless. It would be denounced by so many people throughout the left and across the media. And yet they're playing it very cautious here with this 2% because they know that we're being sold a false bill of goods here. It's unfortunate. And as you said, Libby, the callers, the texters, average folks want to make sure the basics are taken care of. What we need is accountability at all departments. We need to go through things with a fine-tooth comb. We need to ensure we're getting value for money on the issues that actually matter to us, like garbage collection. With this contract here, it's frustrating to see that garbage is not being collected properly. Mine did okay, actually. It went out on the day it was supposed to. I think the contractors are within their right to say, you know, when you switch over a major system, there's going to be some hiccups. Well, fine, but you guys wanted to switch over the major system. It's like whenever I get someone in the house to do, you know, plumbing work or roofing work, and it drives me nuts when these contractors say, oh, well, you know, roofing's tough, and that's why yeah. We kind of screwed it up a bit. I go, well, I know, that's why I didn't do it myself. And you've got these advertisements saying you're the best.
Oh, boy. And Liz, in your checkered past, you have a couple of runs for city council. So what do you make of the property tax hike, the way it's being showcased and explained?
Did you say Liz?
I did say Liz.
Sorry, I missed the Liz part. Okay. I don't want to step on anybody else, like Dean especially. He gets very angry when I do that.
He does?
So I think this is 100% a strategy. Her team probably looked at her tenure and decided, how do we, you know, let's put the largest increase, 9.5%, out of the gate, and then we'll, you know, slowly reduce it. 2.2% doesn't even come close to matching. And Olivia Chow just don't even go together, right? It's like oil and water, in my opinion. And they're also leaning on over $8 billion in provincial and federal contributions. So who knows, you know, how well that's going to go. We've certainly heard Doug Ford say before, when I say no, I'm not giving you money, Toronto, I mean it. I certainly am not in the city budget balancing business. So often I think this is a lot of smoke and mirrors and really moving money around. As long as, you know, as we say, as long as our garbage is collected and our streets are plowed, we're happy. I know some people's recycling didn't get collected. I actually had a great experience, and we had 2 weeks in a row where we got our recycling picked up. That was intentional. They planned it that way. We got a notification about it. But what I thought was interesting is when I went to I use the Toronto Waste app. I don't know if anybody here does, but there's an app and it tells you, you can look up any item and it'll tell you whether it's garbage, blue bin, or green bin. And it also tells you what your pickup is. If you put in your address, it'll tell you today is, you know, your leaf bags are being picked up next week. Anyway, I looked on it and the recycling is gone.
Because it's not a city thing anymore.
No, I know, but Libby, the dates didn't change. Like, nothing changed about the schedule, but they took the little image of the blue bin right off. I mean, if they could have still told us when it's being picked up. Like, I actually thought it was really kind of petty, because it's still my money that's being funneled through the city. Okay, the city. I'm not paying the the cycle of garbage company. I'm not paying them directly. I pay the city to pick up my recycling.
Well,
I don't care. I don't care who they hire to do it, as long as they do a good job. So you have the Toronto Waste app, then do me a favor, keep the schedule on there.
Okay, I hope they're listening. I think you're right. That is kind of petty.
Isn't it?
But my husband prefers the old, you know, it's on the calendar.
The calendar?
He still does quite a lot of things on large pieces of paper and cardboard.
We still do the calendar at our place. At the beginning of each week, I either have an R or a G, so I know what's going out at the beginning of each week.
Yeah, we have little icons on the calendar, but I don't know if there's a new app, but that's probably why the recycling wasn't on the calendar. People put it out, but it did not get collected. And boy, our recycling thing is just overflowing. And we didn't really buy a lot of gifts or anything for kids, people with lots of kids and stuff. I can only imagine. So this is one of the, you know, long-term frustrations with politicians. They keep arguing their jurisdictional things, but there's only one taxpayer. And it's us, baby. Dean?
Sorry. I actually, if I may, I wanted to talk a little bit about the pedestrian fatalities, which you've mentioned a couple of times. And, that really is a real concern of yours truly. I have kids. My youngest is learning to drive. We talk about things like this all the time. We talk about speed. At the end of the day, if you could be in the right, but if you're underneath the vehicle, you know, you're still paying the price. People have to watch. This is not just a problem in cities, but you've got more people, of course. Certainly a problem in the town that I live in as well. And I see it partly. There's so many distractions in the car, out of the car. I cannot tell you how boggled I am at the people who walk down sidewalks and are not looking where they're going. They're looking at their phone. You know,
don't get me started.
You know, but I think that this is such a huge part of the problem, because you could absolutely be walking across the crosswalk, as you said, Libby. But if you are looking at your phone and not looking at your surroundings around you, you are increasing your risk at getting into an accident or a fatality like that. Not that it's your fault, but we have to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, but the people I think who it was older people, and I don't think they were looking at their phones. And of course, in any kind of collision, an older person is more likely to get killed or seriously injured.
It's very possible. I just one last thing. You know what? I spent some time with a gentleman who has cerebral palsy. He is in a wheelchair. He is he operates the chair with his head because he's a severe cerebral palsy. But he loves to get out. We go down some. He loves to go to Toronto, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who you're traveling down the sidewalk, and at the last minute they look up from their phones, and I feel like I'm not going to run in front of the wheelchair and shout at people and say, "Wheelchair coming!" You know, it's like look where you're going.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take another break. I have a very interesting text asking questions about some of the city fees when we come back. But before we take this break, the text line 866-740-4740, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this different style Free for All Friday. Looking forward to your texts, and the text line is 866-740-4740. And the text that I promised before the break said, we've just been talking about how effective on January 1st the city is not responsible for collecting recycling. So the cost of garbage collection, they say, should be less, yet Ontario is increasing the solid waste management fee by 3.75%. Why? Good question. I mean, they're still in charge of collecting the garbage and collecting the compost. But yes, very good question to the texter. You can give us your name, people, your first name, because, I mean, does anybody have any thought about that, Anthony?
Well, I think this is an example of how we can get a smoke and mirrors about a really low tax increase from Olivia Chow, who we know is actually a very tax and spend left-wing person, and yet we have to go and look at other contracts, other nickels and dimes, other fees that are being brought upon us, and other ways they're kind of doing the little shell game with the little coconut shells, moving stuff around. Oh, look here, but don't look there. And I think there are other ways where we're going to find we're not actually having our tax dollars well used. And this one year is going to end up hurting us a fair bit. I think it's another example of just not paying attention to the details on the part of the mayor's office.
Oh, yeah. And amid all these increases, Liz was talking about the things that we care about, getting the garbage picked up and getting the snow plowed and having pools when it's really, really hot. But those things were all seriously messed up. And I'm not even talking about the congestion. I don't have a sense that things are getting better. I have a sense that a lot of things are just a hassle. Things are not better. Dean, I mean, you are out there in Collingwood, so I guess it's different for you. But do you enjoy coming into the city?
I do. We come down periodically to see, to see a show or have a visit. It's a bit overwhelming. My comment all the time is the same. I don't know how you do this every day, especially when it comes to the congestion in the highways. Like, I really don't know how you do this every day and how many hours of your week is spent trying to get from point A to point B. But I have to say that, a lot of the issues that we're talking about, snow removal, garbage pickup, congestion, all those things, the pools, is this just not partly hand in hand with the population growth? I mean, when you're dealing with, 3.5 million people living in such close proximity, how is it possible to escape, these problems? Can you actually count on things running smoothly when you have that many people? I got to tell you, when I had 4 kids at home, I got 2 now. It was like trying to figure out what to put on the dinner table that would appease all 4 of them was almost an impossibility.
Yeah, it's not easy, but that is the job of municipal government. And, I have often said that I would love to have a municipal government where I didn't even know about the ideological bent of the councillors, of the mayor, because right now so much of what they do seems to be ideologically driven. And the basics, municipal government is here to pick up your garbage and plow your streets and all of that. And I really find it, upsetting. Liz.
I'm so glad you're bringing that up. As someone who ran for city council twice, and I don't belong to any political party, and I'm kind of proud to say I had NDP, Conservative, and Liberal volunteers working on my campaign both times, because I would say exactly that. Fixing the roads should not be a left or right decision. It's maintaining a city, and its livability should not be based on political leanings. And yet, in reality, it very much is. There's some really strong political leanings, it's pervasive. And I don't know why that is exactly, why people have to, wear that hat. But when you're serving all people, you can't see things through that lens. I don't think you can do people or do the job that you're hired to do, right? So I'm really glad you brought that up.
Anthony?
Well, it's a great point. And I think we see it most acutely in large cities because of you have a lot of people who gravitate to large cities who are very passionate about politics and partisan politics. So it sort of ebbs to the surface and all that. And I think Toronto and Toronto Council is very troubled with that. I think we have very sort of radical leftist stuff. That's their main priority when it comes to like renaming Yonge and Dundas Square, those sorts of things that are not core priorities. But you pointed out that Brampton is also offering a low tax increase. I think Mississauga, Mayor Carolyn Parrish, who she's a liberal, but she's governing in a way that I think a lot of people are happy with. Up in Vaughan, Stephen Del Duca was the leader of the Liberal Party, but I know I spent a lot of time up there. I know he's well respected by, to Liz's point, people across the political spectrum from some of these leaders, because they're actually focusing much more on the basics in some of these GTA cities that are less captured by, I would say, activist networks and more ideologies. I think Toronto is unfortunately much more plagued by that. And we just need to get back to sort of basic, run-of-the-mill respect for taxpayers, basic, common sense service mentality.
Well, I think part of it is that in a place like Toronto, you need some bucks to run. And, in one way or another, the political parties or these groups that are kind of adjuncts, like in Toronto, there's Progress Toronto, and now there are a couple of conservative ones that are trying to counter them. But, it's not that easy if you are somebody who is just focused on doing the job of a municipal councillor to, what do? You quit your job, you put a mortgage on your house to run, right? Liz, you know.
Yeah. It's a good point. And there are, but there are people municipally who do end up sort of squeaking through in some of these divided races who are people who are not associated with parties, or there's people who get onto council and they think they're leaning in this direction or that, but experience and being in the job makes them kind of pivot a bit. Whereas if they were members of political parties, I think they'd stick in a more dogmatic direction. So we do have, you know, local community leaders can rise to the fore and win. But I mean, it is a point well taken that it's a machine, and it's a big machine in the big cities for sure.
Liz?
Well, that is, you know, I could argue that that is why I lost, because there was a machine that could do things I couldn't do. And Anthony's right. The, you know, if you're a community, the idea is your candidates are meant to be community leaders that have already been advocating and doing things already in the community. They're known. And then you're supposed to rally people around you, or people, you know, kind of pull you in as their leader, and everybody chips in and pitches in. And that's how you can run your campaign. In actuality, especially in the city, it does take money, and it takes, like, you have to connect with people who have experience at it. And, you know, your campaign manager and your kitchen table and things like that. There's a lot that goes into it. I'm not saying you can't do it, but you can't do it alone.
Yeah. I've got a text from Joe here. I'm not even going to read all of it because it has some allegations in it. And I don't think they're necessarily accurate. But it says the opinion of Joe, the texter, is that Maduro will never get a fair trial in the U.S. And he blames American sanctions and not mismanagement on the mess in Venezuela. Well, that is a really oppressive, corrupt regime, and sanctions didn't help. But the fact of it is that a lot of the citizens of Venezuela have been starved, and they have been intimidated, and they are not doing well. Will Maduro get a fair trial in the USA? Well, we will see. This caller says that he will not. You know, there are a lot of Venezuelan expats here in Toronto, as there are from other countries in South America, and a lot of them were very happy to see this happen. But on the morning after, they were not so happy to see the vice president, Maduro's vice president, kind of put in the post. And the opposition leader, she was not allowed to run in the last election. She had somebody, but and to see her being bypassed, that's not something that the local population was thrilled about. But as we've been talking, we're focusing a lot on municipal politics, and we have these proposed budgets coming out. And here in Toronto, the property tax proposal is really low, and everybody is taking that as a sign that Olivia Chow will run again. And it's not just Olivia Chow, it's this entire left-wing woke, I would say, council that I think really governs ideologically. Dean, what do you think when you view all of that?
I don't think that anybody should be surprised. I certainly wasn't surprised. It's a strategy. I think when she knew that she couldn't make beers a dollar a bottle, then, you know, what do? You keep the taxes low, you know. So, I mean, it's not the first time that we've seen any politician, sweeping in with promises that put smiles on people's faces. And it just depends on which camp you're in. If you're an Olivia Chow supporter, then you're looking at it in the way that you're saying, oh, no, you know, she's doing what she promised. She's saying that she, you know, was raising the taxes as much as she had to in the front end of her time. And now she's, you know, she's lowering them. And if you're not an Olivia Chow supporter, then, you know, you think that it's all strategy. And I also agree with what Anthony said earlier. You know, I believe that you know, you're saving on this end and you're getting taxed in a different way. You know, mind you, if it's a user tax, if you are going to be one of those people that that wants to put out copious amounts of trash at the end of year, and you have to, then if you have to pay extra for that, then I believe that at least that, you know, that makes sense to me, that type of user fee. But I agree with Anthony. I think if you're maybe saving on this end and you're getting it in another end.
Oh, yeah. You know, we went through the budget yesterday on our municipal panel, and they're just talking about some increases or one-time payments and that would take care of certain percentages of property tax if they weren't coming out of this creative way of accounting for them. So, yeah, I mean, and stuff like that happens at every level of government, I've got to say. And also, frankly, in the private sector as well. Also, big news. So is the province suing this company that is under fire for, what is it, $26 million, $23 million for fraudulently promoting themselves and reporting their results. And this is a company that is also under fire related to Pacini, the labor minister. So we have a lot happening, but in terms of the province, you know, these, we seem to be get to a point where it looks like a scandal is going to hurt the government, and then it seems to just go away. Anthony.
Yeah, well, I think what we have here is a government that's received three majority mandates because they're very popular with the people and the opposition isn't. And Doug Ford has really been focusing on growing the economy and jobs and opportunities. You know, day one after he became premier, they put up that open for business sign at the entry points to the province on the major highways. And I think ultimately to our points about municipal and people wanting the basics taken care of, I think they feel like that's happening from the Ford government. And they generally like the news about the various process stories and improvement stories to sort of work a day life. And I think that goes a long way in terms of them cutting the government some slack.
Liz, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I would agree completely. We're... Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much more of an opinion on this, I'll be perffectly honest.
Dean?
I'm in the same boat as Liz. I have to admit, I'm you know, Anthony sounds like he's right on the money.
Okay, well, there you go. Why Doug Ford seems to be Teflon. He keeps weathering these things. He got a lot of credit when he took the role of being Captain Canada until it kind of crashed on him, that huge advertising campaign. What was it? $75 million caused Trump, and everybody seems to agree it really did cause Trump to suspend some negotiations. Although with Trump, you never know. It can be one thing one day, another thing another day. We also hear now that Doug Ford is pretty serious about taking Crown Royal off the shelves. A lot of people think that's a bad idea. And just ahead of this trip to China, he's asking Mark Carney, who he gets along with, he's saying, don't take the tariffs off the Chinese EVs. Of course, Ontario has invested a huge amount in electric vehicles and batteries, and it looks like that may be fizzling out to a certain degree. It is not living up to its promise. So I'm looking at the clock. We're basically out of time. I'm going to give Liz the last word because as she heads into her last shift on the Afternoon Express.
I am going into my last shift, and I've had such a wonderful experience working with you, Libby, which is so great because we worked together many years ago, and the whole Zoomer family. And I'm not going to say goodbye. I'm just going to say see you for now.
Okay, see you for now. Thanks.
See you for now.
For that, thank you, Liz. Thank you, Dean Holland. And thank you, Anthony Fury. And that's all the time. Thank you. That's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for the week. And I'll be back here on Monday, and we will talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.